Chapter 30, Art. At this place in his tales, Beelzebub became silent. Then, turning suddenly to his old servant Ahun, who was sitting there, listening as attentively as his grandson Hasin, Beelzebub said, "What's this, old man? Are you really listening to me with as much interest as our Hasin? Weren't you there yourself, and didn't you go with me everywhere on that planet Earth? And didn't you see with your own eyes and sense for yourself everything I am telling him about? Instead of just sitting there open-mouthed at my tales, why don't you also tell our favorite something? There is no getting out of it. Since those strange three-brained beings interest him so greatly, we have to tell him all we can about them. Surely something or other about those freaks must have struck you. Well, whatever it was, tell us about that." On hearing these words, Ahun thought a little and replied, "After your subtly psychological tales about all these muddleheads, what can I add with my stories?" But then, with unaccustomed seriousness and borrowing the style and even entire expressions of Beelzebub himself, he went on, "Well, now, how shall I put it? My essence was often thrown off balance by those strange three-brained beings, and their foolish capers nearly always evoked the being impulse of amazement in one or another of my spiritualized parts." And then, addressing Hasin, he said, "All right, dear Hasin, I shall not, like his right reverence, tell you in detail about any particular oddity of the psyche of those three-brained beings of our great universe who have taken your fancy. No, I shall only remind his right reverence of a certain factor whose origin goes back to the time of our fifth stay on the surface of that planet, and which, when we returned there for the sixth and last time, had become the chief reason why in every one of your favorites, from the first day of their arising until their formation as responsible beings, their capacity for normal being mentation is distorted step by step and is finally transformed almost into a kaltuzaru." Thereupon, turning to Beelzebub, with a timid look and in a hesitant tone, he continued, "Don't blame me, your right reverence, if I venture to express to you an opinion that has just arisen in me, and that is the outcome of data perhaps already worn too thin for being conclusions. In telling our dear Hasin the various reasons why the psyche of the contemporary three-brained beings of the planet Earth has been transformed, as you once deigned to express it, into a mill for grinding out nonsense, you scarcely even mentioned one factor which, perhaps more than any other, has contributed to this during recent centuries. You yourself were present, as I well remember, at the arising of that factor during our stay in Babylon. I mean that factor which has since become definitely maleficent for the contemporary beings there, and which they themselves call art. If, in your wisdom, you should consent to take up that question in detail, then it seems to me our dear Hasin would have the ideal material for elucidating all the peculiar abnormalities of the psyche of the three-brained beings arising in most recent times on that planet Earth which interests him." Having said this, and wiping the drops of sweat from his forehead with the tip of his tail, Ahun became silent and resumed his usual expectant posture. Turning to him with an affectionate glance, Beelzebub said, "Thank you, old man, for reminding me of this. It is true that I have scarcely mentioned that harmful factor they themselves created, which led to the final atrophy of those data for their being mentation that had by chance still survived in them. All the same, old friend, although it is true that I have scarcely referred to it so far, this does not mean that I have not considered it. We have ample time before us on our journey, and in all probability, in the course of my later tales to our common favorite Hasin, I would have remembered in due time what you have just reminded me about. However, perhaps it is opportune to speak just now about this contemporary terrestrial art, because, as you have said, during our fifth stay there, I actually witnessed the events that gave rise to the causes of this contemporary evil, and that occurred thanks again to those learned beings who were gathered in the city of Babylon from almost the whole surface of that ill-fated planet. Beelzebub then turned to Hasin and spoke as follows. This definite concept, now existing there under the name of art, is one of those automatically acting data, the totality of which, gradually and almost imperceptibly, yet very surely, converts these unhappy favorites of yours, beings who have in their presence all the possibilities for becoming particles of a part of divinity, merely into what is called live meat. In order to throw light on all aspects of the question of this famous contemporary terrestrial art, and for your clear understanding of how it all came about, you must first know about two facts relating to what occurred in the city of Babylon during our fifth visit in person to the surface of that planet of yours. The first fact explains how and why I came to be a witness of those events which served as the basis for the existence among contemporary three-brained beings of the planet Earth of that now definitely maleficent notion called art. And the second is related to the earlier circumstances, which in their turn were the origin of these events. Concerning the first of these facts, I must tell you that after the events which occurred among those learned terrestrial three-brained beings who had come to Babylon from almost the whole planet, that is to say, after they had split into several independent groups and had become absorbed, as I have already told you, in the question of politics, I resolved to leave Babylon and continue my observations among the beings of the powerful community called Hellas. I therefore decided to learn their language without delay, and from then on I began to visit those places in the city of Babylon frequented by those beings who would be most useful to me in this study. One day, as I was walking along a certain street not far from our house, I noticed on a large building I had often passed what is called on the earth a signboard, which had just been put up, announcing that in that building a new club for foreign learned beings had just been opened called the Adherents of Legomenism. On the door was a notice to the effect that the enrollment of members of the club was still going on, and that all reports and scientific discussions would be conducted only in the local and Hellenic languages. This interested me very much, and at once I thought of the possibility of making use of this newly opened club for practice in the Hellenic language. I then asked certain beings who were going in and out of the building for particulars concerning the club. And when, thanks to the explanation of one of these learned beings, with whom, as it turned out, I was already acquainted, I had made it all more or less clear to myself, I then and there decided to become a member. Without thinking long about it, I entered the building, and passing myself off as a foreign learned being, I asked to be enrolled as an adherent of Legomenism. I managed to do this very easily, owing to that acquaintance whom I had met by chance and who, like the others, took me for a learned being like himself. Well, my boy, having thus become, as they say, a full member of this club, I began to go there regularly, chiefly to talk with those learned members who were familiar with the Hellenic language I needed to practice.